talking about how to turn our seed into sheaves, the text that we have used as a foundation is in Psalms 126. In our last session, we spoke about seed is advantageous or the benefits of seed. Today, I want to talk to you about seed as money. Now, seed has many applications in the scriptures. I'll just give you a few to highlight them. Seed is first and foremost Christ himself. So Galatians 3:16 talks to you about Christ, who is the seed that came through Abraham. Seed is also the word of the kingdom. And you have to understand that the word of the kingdom is a word of dominion and rulership. And this is a word that the enemy does not want you to listen to because it will bring you into your fulfillment and your purpose in life. That's in Matthew 13, verse 18, where it tells you anyone who hears the word of the kingdom, and the latter part of the verse will tell you this is he who receives seed by the wayside. So seed is also the word of the kingdom, but seed is also the kingdom of God itself. In Mark 4, verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So the kingdom of God within us is seed. And as sowers, we are always scattering the seed of the kingdom of God wherever we go, its values, its morals, its ethics, righteousness, peace, and joy, which are all elements of the kingdom. And so seed is also the kingdom. Seed is also the sons of the kingdom. This is in Matthew 13:37, when Jesus said, he who sows the good seed is the son of man. And verse 38, the field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Seed is also our children. We shared this when we did seed as a heritage. In Genesis 26, verse 4, as God spoke to Abraham, he said, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. And it says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So when you think about seed, it is also in the context of our children. Seed is also our faith. Matthew 17, 20, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, so seed is also your faith. But today we're talking about seed in the context of money. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Paul is addressing the Corinthian church with regards to the gift that they had sent, and he also uses the Macedonian church as an example of offerings that were sent for the help of the saints during the difficult times. And he's talking about seed in the context of money or the offering that they had sent to assist the saints. Now, when you talk about seed as money, for a greater harvest, you would be required to sow or scatter a greater volume of seed. The greater you invest, the more you get out of an investment. So we determine our harvest by the volume of seed we sow. And this applies to many aspects in life, but I'm talking about it in the context of money as well. In Luke 6, verse 38, we all know the verse, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. And then it uses this term, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, if you read Luke chapter 6 verse carefully, the context is about judgment, that if you sow judgment, you would also reap judgment. But this can also be applied to money, that to the measure that you sow, it will be returned, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So the volume of seed also determines our harvest. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, but I say to you, this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So the volume of seed that we sow in the context of money will also determine the kind of harvest that we would receive. Therefore, seed which is also our faith, has to be challenged to sow seed in the context of money in volume or quantity so that we reap a greater harvest over time. Now, in Genesis 14, verse 20, I want you to look at Abraham's seed. This is after Abraham had been in battle and had come out victorious. And this was when he went to rescue Lot and his family that were taken captive. And after the rescue of Lot, there was a large volume of spoils that was collected. And in Genesis 14, verse number 20, the Bible says, "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And this is Melchizedek blessing Abraham. And the Bible says, "And he gave him a tithe of all." So Abraham initially gave Melchizedek a tithe. And then the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Take the spoils of war for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will take nothing that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." He said, "The only thing that I will take is what the young men have eaten and the portion to the men that were with him." Now, Abraham in that moment released a large volume of seed, because remember that he could have easily taken control of the spoils because he had gone into this battle. But he had sown his tithe and he had sown everything that was in the battle, and it was a large volume of seed. Now, what was the result of that large volume, or what we would call a measure of seed that was sown? And in Genesis 15, verse 5, God brought him outside and he said to him, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said, "So shall your descendants be." You see, the volume of seed that Abraham sowed broke the barrenness in his life and made him a father of many nations. So the volume of seed determines a certain kind of outcome. So if we want to see our money begin to produce great results, it is also determined by the volume or the quantity that we sow. Most times that would fall into an area of great sacrifice that we have to make to see a kind of return that we need. Now, while we talk about the volume of seed, seed also has to be perpetual or continual. Sometimes we sow a volume of seed just once off, but it's not continual and perpetual. Remember that even when Solomon was bringing the Ark of the Covenant to place it, or in the Temple of Solomon, and every so many steps that they took, there was sacrifice of bulls and offerings that were made, but it was every few steps that they take. You see, your steps in life have to be continually and perpetually determined by seed. So seed, while it is in volume, should not be just once off. It should also be continual. That's why in Psalms 126, verse 5, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." Verse 6, "He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing." So there's the continual and perpetual sowing of seed, not just the volume of seed once off, but seed that is sown continually. So sheaves, which is the harvest of seed, is determined by volume, but also determined by our continuity and the perpetual sowing of seed. Ecclesiastes 11:6, "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that." Even Ecclesiastes 1 talks about, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven, continual and perpetual, and also to eight, for you do not know which will be on the earth." Now, you can overcome evil on the earth, because the verse tells you, "For you do not know what evil will be on the earth." So to overcome the evil that is on the earth, there should be seed in volume, and also seed, there should be regularity of seed, or the continual sowing of seed. Now, In the sessions prior to this, we shared about seed in our action, seed as our heritage, seed as our economy, and seed must be money that is in volume and sown perpetually. Now, David, if you look at all these things that I shared, David sowed seed when he took care of his brothers in the battle. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 17, David sowed seed when he honored King Saul. These are all what we will call seed actions. David sowed seed when he took care of the dying Egyptian, and this was seed to a stranger. And in 1 Samuel 30, we find this Egyptian that was lying on the road, and David sowed seed to him by taking care of him. And you know that the Egyptian eventually told him where his family was. David also sowed seed by taking care of Saul's grandson. And Mephibosheth, David wanted to honor the legacy of Saul, and he took Mephibosheth under his wing. And this was also a seed. David also sowed seed during the time of plagues, when a plague was upon the land, and he bought the field of Araunah to stop the plague. But David also sowed seed for the building of God's house in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. And the latter part of the verse will give you the amounts that he sowed. So David's seed actions, David's seed in volume, David's sowing seed continually in different parts of his life made him a powerful and respected king. Now, it is through the lineage of David that Jesus Christ, the seed, is born. So all our seed actions, seed in our heritage, seed which is our economy, seed which is advantageous, seed as our money, and the other aspects of seed that I shared with you this morning. All our seed must produce and give an expression of Christ, the seed who is the perfect seed in our lives. This powerful prayer.